Take it away, laser.
Es ist mir grüßt meine teure Zuhörer auf noch ein Programm von dem neuen jüdischen Repertoire Theater, der New Yiddish Radio, New Yiddish Rep Radio Show. Heint hat mir einen speziellen Gast, Raffi Goldwasser von dem Lufttheater von Straßburg in Frankreich und Theresa Tova was, von Kanada. Und wir haben ein volles Programm mit Musik und mit Interviews mit Kolmine Narrigkeiten.
Ja.
Ich will euch vorstellen, unser Chushubin Gast, Gastgeber, David Mandelbaum.
Thank you, Laser, to get right to the Narrigkeiten. We'll talk about this mosque issue that's happening in New York, about this mosque at the Ground Zero in New York. And I want to read something that expresses my opinion, which is not the official opinion of New Yiddish Rep, which is after all a theater company, but this is my opinion, and I'm quoting from the First Amendment. Actually, I'm quoting the entire First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay, that's it. I think this is just pshat. You know, we don't need Rashi and Tosfos to figure this out. It's pretty simple. What else is there to say? Do you guys have an opinion you'd like to express?
Ich bin maskim mit dir 100%.
Okay. Anybody who would like to express an opinion is free to call 888-815-9756. That's from the United States or Canada. Once again, that's 888-815-9756.
You know, it's just fraught with mistrust, though. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, we all want the same thing, don't we? That everyone has the freedom to be who they are, where they are. And there's just so much distrust. Need to get the conversations going, don't we?
Well, you know, Tova, it's interesting that a few years ago, the Supreme Court upheld the right of the American Nazi Party to march through Skokie, Illinois.
That was 40 years ago or something.
Well, it was 40 years ago. And 40 years ago, the Supreme Court said they could march.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the First Amendment hasn't changed. You know, like, take this program. We accept calls from anybody of any persuasion unless you advocate either human or animal sacrifice, in which case there is no discussion. Don't call.
Actually, many Jews do advocate animal sacrifice.
No, come on. Nobody really does. That's just...
they don't do it, but they do.
They advocate it as a...
Theoretically.
You know, it's an anachronism that hopefully we will be free of at some point.
Actually, you know, what's that group? The Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a group of about 600, like a sect that broke off of Judaism, I don't know how many thousands of years ago. They actually still practice animal sacrifice to this very day, according to the laws of the Torah and all that. And there are pictures, and you can see videos probably in the YouTube.
There's probably
I don't think we should exclude them just because they sacrifice animals. We should.
And you know, the same thing should be true of Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find any chicken corpses around, reserve your judgment.
That's right.
It may be a question of freedom of religion.
It's difficult. It's difficult, David and Laser. I mean, I'm a Canadian and not a constitutional specialist, you know, the other side of the border from where I am. But at some point, one also has to talk about the freedom of the individual not to be accosted, you know. And I'm not talking about the mosque, because I agree with you that, you know, the bridges need to be built. But, you know, the Skokie situation, I mean, where's the individual's right not to be accosted? How is that trumped from the individual's right to do the accosting? So I just don't know how you make those decisions.
Well, yeah.
It's an interesting statistic that my girl, what's her name? Ajanpour. She jumped to ABC, I noticed. She probably wasn't appreciated at CNN. But she had her show this morning, and there was an interesting statistic that when it came to the opinion of the American people as to whether or not the they had the right to build this mosque, it was 60-40 that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to the question of whether they thought it was the right thing to do on their part, it was 60-40 against. So the American people are looking at this with some degree of horse sense, you know. The First Amendment says nothing about sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that you have to be sensitive to anybody. It just
says, but I think that's the difference, you know. In Canada, we really have very, very strong hate crime laws. And, you know, the man who denies the Holocaust up there has no right to do that because it's a hate crime.
I think if it's something that's so inflammatory that it could lead to violence and that sort of thing, then it's definitely, it's a fire in a crowded, you know, building kind of situation.
You know, I will leave this to the court, but my attitude is this. If I don't defend the right of someone whom I totally disagree with to express their opinion, then I'm not fulfilling my responsibility. It's that simple, because then they can deny me.
Mm.
And I don't care what their opinion is, as long as I can voice mine.
Well, I do care as a woman what some people's opinions are when they hurt women. I actually do really care. So it's kind of difficult, you know. And I do hate racist propaganda that kept women and, you know, Rosa Parks at the back of the bus. Do we at some point you have to come down on what the culture stands for and make a decision that their freedom of speech, that is hate mongering, is not as important as what we decide is morally correct. And I understand the difficulty with it all, because then who makes the decisions? But at some point, you do have to make a decision as a society. It can't just be free reign.
This is true. And there was no violence, as I recall, when they marched through Skokie. The court said they could do it. They did it. It wasn't a pleasant thing, but it happened, you know. I don't regret the decision of the United States Supreme Court. Because when I want to march through, I don't want to characterize any region of the country as mm-hmm. racist or, you know, prejudiced. But if I were to march through such a place, I would want the court to uphold my right to march through it with, you know, dressed as I am, I would like to wear a strimal and a kaput and put it in their face. Here I am, you know.
Let me just say that I pray that this mosque, this center of learning and this center of healing, will truly be that if and when they build it, and that it'll be all about bridge building, and that it not be what people fear it might be. Well, so, you know, that I really, really pray that it's being done for all the right reasons.
Well, you know, enough people think that they are sincere. You know, it's not really an issue. For me, it's not a question. It's not something that can be even questioned
mm-hmm.
until there is some compelling proof that they should not be allowed to do that because they're seditious or because they're plotting something. I just there's no question here. There's not even a discussion here. The First Amendment, you know, by me, it's Torah from Sinai. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
at some point, don't we make laws, though, that say, childhood marriages are not freedom? You know, you can't have the right to do. Don't we make laws that say, you know, things are just wrong? It's not total freedom. We have to protect certain individuals. We have to protect certain inalienable rights. I'm not arguing with you, David. I'm just saying it is more difficult than just straight ahead black and white.
Well, it's true, but unless we treat it as straight ahead, once you start to strangle those rights, you're starting down a path that's difficult to come back from. We have to be real careful about it. The Anti-Defamation League got a lot of heat
mm-hmm.
from
and rightfully so.
You know, what they said was basically what you're saying. This is not really. I mean, they said out and out that they thought it was insensitive. They never denied that they had the right to do it. They just said that they didn't think they should. I think they should have kept their mouth shut. Myself, I think that it wasn't necessary to comment on the whole thing. We had Bloomberg comment on it. We had our president, President Obama, comment on it lately. We don't need to get involved in this argument. You know, the last time I looked, there were two mosques on the Temple Mount. Two, count them, two. You know, this is not something that we need to argue about. If we are truly think of ourselves as enlightened people. So that's my opinion for what it's worth. And let's talk about some things that are coming up. August 24th at 7 o'clock, there's a wonderful event going to happen, part of a series that's been curated in cooperation with The Forward by Jake Marmer and Dan Friedman. It's called Jewish Art for the New Millennium, Three Elishas. It happens that there will be three artists, all whose first names are Elisha. Elisha Spiegels, who is arguably the finest klezmer violinist in the world. Elisha Ostreicher, who is a poet and a critic. And Elisha Joe Rabins, who is a fiddler and singer and is part of a very popular band called Golem. And they will be performing at the 6th Street Community Synagogue at 7 o'clock, August 24th. That's a Tuesday. And there'll be an $8 cover. That's one of the biggest bargains in town. You know, at New Yiddish Rep, we don't charge people a fixed price. But $8 is a bargain by anybody's standards. So if you're around, it's going to be a great evening. There's some exciting art happening at the 6th Street Synagogue. So I urge you to check it out and go to their website at eastvillageshul.com. That's eastvillageshul.com. So any minute we should be hearing from, I hope, from Rafi. So just to bring people up to speed on that, Rafi Goldwasser is an internationally known experimental actor who has brought to the New York Fringe Festival his adaptation of I.L. Peretz's A Gilgul Finanigin, which is the metamorphosis of a melody. And it's a charming short story about how a melody transforms itself from generation to generation and in a way forms a chain from one generation to the next. So he has created a piece of a multimedia theater out of this, and hopefully he will be joining us very shortly. In the meantime, Tova, how about telling us what you've been up to?
I just want to say first that, you know, I've seen Raphael perform in Montreal, in Toronto, around the world. He's just a wonderful, wonderful actor and great artist. So what a great opportunity for you New Yorkers. I wish I was down there again next week.
I believe he's going to perform it again in Toronto.
Yes, but I won't be there.
Oh.
Yeah, he wrote me to say, do you know I'm coming? And I went, yeah, but I'm leaving the day before. I'm the big Ashkenaz festival is happening. It happens every 2 years in Toronto, one of the largest festivals in the world. We have tens of thousands of people for a whole week. I mean, maybe 60, 80,000 people coming down to Harbourfront Center for film and music and plays and klezmer music, experimental music. I'm involved in the opening night performance of a tribute to our great poet Avraham Sutzkever that we lost, Olav Shulam, this year. And then the next morning, I fly to Poland to my fourth appearance at the Bashevis Singer Festival in Warszawa. And dorten will ich vorstellen a Konzert von der größte Stern von die jüdische Bühne, a program of the great women of the Yiddish theater, narrative stories and songs from the early women that played with Goldfaden, to Bessie Tomaszewski, to Jenny Goldstein, to Luba Kadason, right through. What fun. And I'll be there with the virtuoso pianist Matt Herskowitz and the brilliant Lara St. John and the rest of the band. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm so looking forward to going back to Warsaw. What a strange thing to say for a daughter of Holocaust survivors. But I really feel like I'm going home there. There's an incredibly vibrant Yiddish community, and the greater Polish population comes to see these concerts. There might be 5,000-6,000 people in a square to hear a concert. It's at one time, it's quite something under the tutelage of Golda Tänzer. Then I come back and I'm writing a new piece for the Philadelphia International Festival of the Arts, for the Kimmel Center big festival, and we're premiering a new show there in April about the life and the artistry of Bella Chagall, an unsung heroine, the wife of Marc Chagall. And so I'm very, very much immersed right now in translating her Yiddish books, Der Erste Begegnis und Der Brennende Licht, about their hometown of Vitebsk and that wonderful life that they lived there. And then we're off to Vienna again. So I don't know where you want. You can stop me anytime. Oh, and then I got to say, though, David and I are working on a project. Ja, Stuvidl?
Ja.
Zusammen.
Sizwul.
Huh?
Yep, it's true. It's true. Sizdememis.
Sizemis. We are working with the famed, brilliant director Moshe Yasul on an evening of Yiddish plays done by a man and a woman. And we get to play a variety of roles and styles, from comedy to romantic, outside-the-box Yiddishkeit from Bashevis Singer. And I'm very, very excited about working with you, David, in Mama Lushan, and we'll be...
I'm excited about working with you, and as always, I'm excited about working with me.
I'm excited about, at least I look forward to seeing it, whatever it is.
Laser, tell us, while we're waiting, tell us something about the show, about Gildulf and Megan. You saw it yesterday.
Yes, I did. It was, I guess, it was the American premiere, and it was quite a show. It's a one man show, but it has so much multimedia, electronic, visual, and audio different things working at the same time. Three different screens projected onto large, like a talus. What can I say? There's a lot going on. And there's a translation for those of the Yiddish impaired, and there's an automatic a narrator which is Goldwasser himself narrating it, and then his own voice, and then he's
Rafi himself,
right?
Yeah.
And he's playing for various characters and different moods, different things. He's all over the place. I think he must have been. Actually, I know he was completely exhausted at the end of the show. He hadn't eaten anything. He can speak for himself.
Oh, spare us the guilt, you know.
Spare the guilt, but I'll just tell you.
Somebody's going to feed him, right?
We went to a restaurant afterwards. It was
he couldn't stop eating
this, and it's worth it. It's a great show.
Very good. I'm glad to hear it. Tova.
Yes. Oh, there you are.
I would like to know, when are you going? What are the dates of this festival in Warsaw? And, you know, tell people something more about it. Myself, you know my opinion of these things. I don't cotton to going to a country in which little stereotypical statuettes of You know, it's like if you went to Kennedy Airport and you saw stereotypical Negro statuettes being sold as something, and you go to Warsaw and there are these Nazi caricatures of Jews being sold in the souvenir shops. How do you feel about that? Sorry for putting you on the spot.
Wow. It's a complicated issue. There is a bit of Disney Jew land there, absolutely. I liken it a little bit to the way the Native American Indian might feel at a rodeo. So I don't think that, you know, we are very innocent ourselves here in the West, in North America. But when I talk to my Jewish friends, and there are many who live in Poland, about that unease that one might feel, they say, but there are so few Jews here. How else do we do this? And they are just so grateful to have the Polish government, the Gentile population, be so interested, and they are rebuilding a life there. Now, it's not perfect.
Tova, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are they interested enough to give me my house back?
Well, my house doesn't exist anymore.
Well, but mine does. So are they willing to pay you for your house? Are they willing to give you the land and build a new house for you? You know, they ask us these questions.
It's a
issue now. We have an issue we have to deal with ourselves that asks the same questions. I don't particularly feel personally responsible for it, but, you know, these are questions. It's always, what are the rights of the refugee?
They are Jews in Poland that are heading these festivals. Certainly in Warsaw. It is Golda Tensler and her man, Shlomo, the head of the Yiddish theater there, who run this. Mm-hmm. So what they have done is gotten great support from the Polish government in order to try and help rebuild this cultural festival. And I know friends there who are building new synagogues and new communities, and they want our support. And I feel that it is my duty to go and show them not the little Nazi images, but really what Yiddishkeit and my feeling.
Yeah, we got to figure this out technically. Okay, I'm hanging up, and I'll speak to you in a minute. Sorry, Tova, there's a little bit of a technical issue here because Rafi is ready to come in. I got to figure out how to do it. So I'm going to go to the conference and hope that she comes up on it. Where am I? No. You know what? I'm going to start this call over again. I don't know. Maybe Don can help us. But
No, just start it over and we'll see what happens. This is radio by the seat of your pants.
Right. Okay. I will speak to you in a minute. call.
Laser, are we on radio still, darling?
We're still on radio, yeah.
So, Laser, mit was bist du vernehmen?
I'm going to do something else. I'm going to ask them to call in to the station and from a landline, and we can get it done that way. If you guys just want to, I'm going to play some music right now.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Let's hear some music.
Yeah, this is, you're going to like this, I think. I hope, anyway. I have to find it. It's Psoy Kirilenko. And it's called The Number, and here it is. Oops. I'm going to start it over, guys. Here we go. You'll like this.
I'm a Jewish guy. Everybody hates my people. I'll show you the reason why. I probably deserve it somehow. the number I wish to call cannot be completed as dialed. The number I wish to call cannot be completed at all. I am a Russian guy. Everybody hates my country. I wish I knew the reason why.
Technically, I can't get you on. We'll figure it out for the next time. Could you call 888?
Russian accent cannot be completed as dialed.
888-815-9756.
I am a human guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody right. hates my species. I wish I knew the reason why. Am I really all that vicious? The number I wish to call, babe, cannot be completed as dialed. The number, yes, I mean completing the number, not the call. It's not a mistake. It's supposed to be like that. Completed at all. It feels so hard to sing. Come over now and give me some change. I am a poor little thing, you know. Come over here and bring me some change. Remember, I wish to call. We'll never be completed as dialed. The number I wish to call. We'll never be completed anymore.
That's fabulous.
Who do you think that was? That was Zoe Kirilenko.
Wow.
And I'm hoping that we get a something from the station, because I asked them to call the station. But, hey, you know, as long as we are waiting. Here's something. Hello, Rafi.
Yes.
Rafi. Yes. How's in Greece? Was that so happy?
How's the say there? 100%.
Wie ist die Vorstellung gegangen hat?
Beseder, beständig sind dort kleinige technische Probleme, weil die weiß doch, dass sind dort 15 andere Produktions. Darf man sich zugewöhnen zu Abine, was dient 14 andere Menschen.
Ja.
Ist jeder eine mit seinem kleinigen Problem. Aber es nicht in allgemeines Gewinn, Beseder.
The Hauptsache is, as Yiddish is Yiddish Theater is a Mitglieder in the New York City Fringe Festival.
Das ist sehr wichtig, Leute.
Das ist eine große Sache. Es kommt dir als Sach Covid vor dem.
Ja. Ich habe schon getracht wegen dem. Es ist der Fakt, dass ein Goyischer Festival nimmt eine Piece, was ist im Ganzen ein Jiddisch, mit Übersetzung, versteht sich. Das ist eine Größe der Gleichung. Ja, ich glaube so.
Okay, we have with us, we're going to switch to English for a minute. Tova, are you still here?
Und du kommst zurück in Toronto, Raphael.
Ich fliege in Toronto den 30.
Ja.
Ja,
aber ich fuhr raus den 1. in der Früh von Polen.
Ich will euch sein in Polen. Ich will euch sein in Polen, den 5.
Wann kommst du Uwe?
Den 5. werde ich dort geben, ein Recital von jüdischer Poesie.
Ich habe 2 Konzerten auf der 5. noch.
Was?
Meine Konzerten sind auf der 5. September euch.
Wir wissen ja, weil ich komme her. Efter, wenn du Zeit zu kommen her, das, was ich mache, ich will dich kommen her.
Ob es nicht in derselbe Saat, wenn wir dort sahen, Masken.
Ja, 100%. 100%.
Well, this is a pleasant... I said we're going to switch to English, but...
we can switch.
There's no crime in having some Yiddish on the show. Rafi, we have a problem. Perhaps you can provide some insight. We have this show. We're trying to interest young people in Yiddish.
Yes.
But most of them don't speak Yiddish.
I understand.
So how do you do a radio show and try to bring in people who might be interested in Yiddish and don't understand it, how can you do it all in Yiddish? You just can't
do it. If they are really interested in Yiddish, they have to study before.
Well,
there is no other way.
We're trying to look. I hope that your production, which I understand that you had some reservations because of what you mentioned about the pressure of 14 different shows performing on the same stage, making it impossible for you to realize the technical aspects of the show fully. Did that come to fruition? From what Laser told me, he saw the show yesterday. He said it was fabulous.
It can be better. And in November, when we are going to play for the Volksbühne, we'll have the full technical conditions to do it the best.
I am. It's wonderful that you will be bringing the show back, and I understand that there are going to be 12 performances.
In November, you mean?
In November.
I think, yes.
And we will do everything we can to remind people about that and to get them down to the theater. But for the meantime, you have three more performances here, don't you?
Yes, the 17th, the 22nd, and the 24th.
Right, the 17th, it's 8 o'clock. The 27th?
I don't remember exactly.
Yes, I can tell you exactly.
Yes. The 17th
because we want people
o'clock.
To come. On the 17th, it's at 8 p.m. On Sunday, the 22nd, it's at 9:30 p.m.
Yes.
And on Tuesday, the 24th, it's at 6 p.m.
Yes.
At the 4th Street Theater, which is at 83 East 4th Street.
Yeah.
And you can buy tickets online, or you can go down to the theater and buy them right there. And I hope many of you will do that. I intend to come on Tuesday. Rafi, I have a question for you about the Lufttheater in Strasbourg. My question is, how strong an audience do you have there? Who do you perform for?
Everyone asks this question. We do theater in Yiddish and about Yiddish. It means in French, and some pieces are also French and Yiddish. But the public we are addressing to is not at all Jews, and of course not Jews speaking Yiddish, because there are no Jews speaking Yiddish. It's a desert there for Yiddish culture in Yiddish. But our theater exists from 1992, the first time I put the Megillah there, and the public was very, very happy with this production. It was completely new for them, the Yiddish culture. They didn't know that it exists. And right away I had a proposition from the ministry and the city of Strasbourg to make Yiddish culture to continue with that, and that helped very much. I mean, to my productions, there are goyim coming and enjoying or not enjoying, it can be also, what I'm doing in Yiddish or not in Yiddish, as they are enjoying when they are going to the National Theater in Strasbourg and seeing a Polish production or a Russian production that is in Russian with translation. So there is no special Jewish public in Strasbourg for me, for our productions.
How many of your how much theater do you get to present to people in the course of a year?
When we put a play a year, we play it only 2 weeks, and after that it's finished.
Two weeks a year?
No. After that, I play all over the world.
Yes, but in Strasbourg
itself. The production, yes. In Strasbourg, it's no more than 2 weeks. There is no...
Right.
I cannot tell you now the specific conditions of how little companies like mine are working, but it's the way to do. You have to convince a theater to take this production as a co-production, and the theater puts it like a part of the repertory, and the repertory has to change. So you can play 2 weeks. And it's okay.
You said something. I read a quote of yours about the nostalgic aspect of Yiddish theater.
Yes.
This is something that's a concern for quite a few people. And you said, and I think you used this particular production as an example of Yiddish theater breaking out of its, shall we say, saccharine nostalgic phase, going into a new era, the 21st century for Yiddish theater.
I hope that this production is one of our productions that is always in the same style, that we are considering Yiddish culture like a very modern culture, and that has to be like that, because if we want, especially in Strasbourg, if I want to convince public to come to see my play and not to go instead to the National Theater, where they get the best productions you can see, I have to make this competition in a very, very modern way. People coming to see what I am doing in Strasbourg, as I said, are not Jews. So they don't have any consideration about nostalgia. They don't have nostalgia for the shtetl, you know. Mm-hmm. They have to come to see a good production, very well done, and that's all. And the fact that it is in Yiddish, it's even worse, because they have to come in spite of the fact that they are coming and hearing a Yiddish production. You see.
I
address myself to a very large public that has nothing to do with Jewish Yiddish nostalgia, and I really personally believe that the one that bases himself on nostalgia, he's finished in something like six, 7 years, because no more people will have nostalgia for the shtetl, you know, and for Yiddish in itself. It has to become something that has a power and a value besides the nostalgia.
Because of the artistry, yes, Raphael, absolutely.
Mm. I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's a real breakthrough for the Volksbühne to present a work like this.
I think so.
And I hope that we will see more of the same from them. I just want to let the audience know that this show is it's a multimedia theatrical presentation, and hopefully when Rafi comes back for the Volksbühne, all the technical aspects of the presentation will be addressed, so that you will be able to see the show as he meant it to be seen.
Yeah, and, David, it doesn't mean that today there is no video, etc.
I was just about to say that I didn't want to discourage people from going to see it now, because from what Laser tells me, it is a very special and very unique experience. And hopefully people will take the opportunity to go down and not only see the show, but to support Yiddish theater as a global art form, as part of our world theatrical community.
Exactly. It has to be good theater, first of all.
Exactly. Yeah. I echo your words. What do you have planned for the future? What do you have planned for the future? What projects might you be able to...
Yes, I have the next project will be in November or December 2011. It will be the Chumash Lieder from Manger. We are composing new music for it. And I have a very nice idea that is based on the ancient troubadours, Yiddish troubadours of the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, a style that Manger was inspired to write the Chumash Lieder.
That sounds wonderful.
Will be, The Humeschlieder, and it will also be with translation, but another way of translation. It will not be video in it. Uh-huh. It will be really like, let us say, modern troubadours.
Yeah. I see. Well, that sounds great. Leise, efter wilt ihr fragen nach Kasha auf Yiddish?
Was nicht?
Nee.
Ja. Ich kenne mich, ich meine, die Amerikaner Eulen seht euer Theater zum ersten Mal.
Ja,
ich habe schon kennt ihr erzählen ein bisschen wegen, ich habe gesagt, dass es ist aufgekommen in 92. Aber, ja. Aber mit was habt ihr, was sind denn etliche Beispiele von den verschiedenen Vorstellungen und Pjäsen, was ihr heute aufgeführt dort?
Wir haben aufgeführt von dann. In 2009, ja. Wir haben gestellt euch das Buch von Gan Eden von Manger, die Megille, wie gesagt. Wir haben gestellt Bashevi Singer, verschiedene Auszüge von mein Tatensbeis-Dienststub. Nachdem habe ich gemacht, in Französisch habe ich gemacht, eine Pjäse, ein Monolog basiert auf der Scheuchet von Bashevi Singer. Was ist sehr eine ernste, tragische Pjäse. Was noch? Wir haben gestellt ein Hommage für Gebürtigen. Was ist gewesen, sehr eine moderne Pjäse, euch mit Video. Und was noch? Sholem Aleichem, die drei Monologen von Sholem Aleichem. Was ich habe intituliert, es brennt. Und in dem sehen du drei Monologen, der Steppel, der Nisref und der Taliskotten.
Ich meine, man hat gehabt, die Idee, das zu bringen in Amerika, ja?
Ich habe es gespielt in der Volksbühne schon.
Oh,
und,
ja.
Ja, wir haben gestellt ein Musical basiert auf Menachem Mendel, geschrieben...
Put it on.
Ah? Menachem Mendel. Menachem Mendel von Sholem Aleichem, das ist ein Musical geschrieben und komponiert von...
How do we get her?
A Französischer. A Französischer.
Hello?
Ja.
Hello?
Ja.
Hello.
We have someone calling in to ask a question.
A guten Abend.
A guten Abend, da.
Ja.
Mein Mann und mein Freund haben gesehen, die Spiele Nächten.
Ja, schönen Dank.
Ah, wunderbar.
Gut, schönen Dank.
Ja, ich will euch etwas fragen, aber in Englisch.
Ja.
Did you get training as a mime?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, I did one of the best schools of mime and masks in Paris. Jacques Lecoq. It was the biggest master mime, yes.
It was wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope you'll come down and see this Gilgul Fananigan. Leise, nee, warte.
Ja, gut. Ihr könnt ihr erzählen ein bisschen wegen der verschiedenen Erde, wo ihr habt gespielt. Ich weiß, ihr spielt da jetzt.
Dem Gilgul, meinst du? Dem Gilgul haben wir gespielt in Straßburg noch, nachdem in Schiltigheim, nicht weit von Straßburg. Und wir haben es gespielt in Dresden, in Deutschland, mit einer deutschen Übersetzung. Und jetzt da, und wir spielen es weiter in Toronto. In 2011 hoffe ich, dass wir wollen es spielen in Montreal und öfter in Australien. Aber es hebt sich noch an. Wir werden spielen weiter und weiter. Allein persönlich habe ich gespielt, das sag meine Monologen in verschiedenen Orten. In Amerika, in Kanada, in Argentinien, in Brasil, ich weiß, in Israel, in verschiedenen Orten, ja. Das, die Monologe sind sehr leicht, weil ich komme mit der Waliske. Als man kommt mit der Chemedanke, ist sehr, es ist sehr leicht zu verkaufen, also sag. Weil es ist billig, es ist technisch sehr einfach, aber es ist anders, da ist sehr kompliziert.
Ich will fragen nach Kasche.
Ja.
Weil Zeit läuft und ich will das fragen.
Ja.
Ihr seid gewesen Akteur auf Habima Theater.
Ja, sicher. Wenn ich bin gewesen, bin ich gewesen in Habima. Ich habe übergelost der Bima.
Bis nach Wiedersehen, bis jing, bis nach jing, Wiedersehen.
Ja, ja, wenn ich gewinne ein bisschen jünger,
bin ein bisschen ich jünger, also.
Ein jünger Schauspieler von der Bima. Und ich habe da übergelost der Bima, wenn ich habe beschlossen zu fahren in Paris, sich auszulernen mit Jacques Lecoq.
Ich habe eine Kasche.
Ja.
Was ist gewesen, dann Nisuyen mit Jiddisch Theater in Yisroel? Eider, ihr habt da weggefahren von
Die erste Sache, was ich habe gemacht, ist gewesen ein Recital von Poesie und Monologen, begleitet mit meinem Bruder Daniel Galay, was ist ein Kompositor. Er hat euch geschrieben ein paar Texten vor dem und euch komponiert und gespielt mit mir. Das ist gewesen die erste Sache, was wir haben gemacht. Nachdem bin ich reingegangen in jüdischen Theater, was für Ton Atzmon dort.
Ja.
Bis in der 20. Und ich habe gespielt in vier Produktionen, bis ich habe beschlossen, wegzufahren in Frankreich.
Ah, sehr. In Demmels ist jüdisch Theater schon gewesen.
Demmels noch nicht. Es ist gewesen der Onheu. Die erste Produktion von dem jüdischen Theater in Israel, von Atzmon, ist gewesen Schwer zu sein, Aid, in welche ich habe gespielt.
Ja. Was meint ihr wegen der Zukunft von jüdischem Theater in der 21. Millennium?
Erstens, keiner kann nicht wissen, was wird sein in der Zukunft. Wir können nur trachten und haben Theorien. Ich glaube, als ob der jüdische Theater wird sich basieren auf Menschen, die reden jüdisch und haben Nostalgie, wird es gehen kaputt, weil die Menschen, die reden noch ein bisschen Jiddisch, und sie sind da sehr, sehr winzige von sich, sie gehen weg. Und auf sie kann man sich nicht basieren in ein paar Jahren herum, ob es wird sein oder nicht ein Publikum. Ich darf mir vergessen von dem. Nachdem, der Publikum, was will Nostalgie, wie soll ich sagen, ob ein Künstler, der was fehlt, also er ist ein Künstler, muss machen das, was er fehlt. Nicht gucken, was das Publikum will kaufen. Als nicht, ist es nicht kein Artist, er ist ein Verkäufer, ein Seucher. Darf man beschließen, ob man ist ein Seucher oder man ist ein Artist. Ein Artist darf machen das, was er fehlt. Ob einer fehlt, dass er will machen Schund, soll er machen Schund. Ich mache das, was ich will, was ich will machen. Und ich wollte nicht gekannt machen anders. Wegen der Zukunft kann man nicht wissen. Ich glaube, dass ob man wird die ganze Zeit machen das, was der Publikum will, wird man gehen niedriger und niedriger. Wir wissen doch, als bedrängt klar, der große Eulen will doch essen McDonald's, ja? Und die Wert von McDonald's wissen wir doch von allen Einsichten. Ja? Unsere Pflicht ist zu machen, erstens das, was jeder eine von uns ist beschaffen geworden zu machen. Und zweitens, glauben, dass Kunst ist euch ein Erich in sich, ein Wert. Ja.
A scheinem Dank, Raffi.
Ja. Danke und du stark, a scheinem Dank. Rebbe
Fuhl, was gekennst an a Rebbe Neuch.
A scheinem Dank. A gute Nacht, seid gesund.
Und das ist ja Kunst.
A scheinem Dank.
Ja, a scheinem Dank, seid gesund. Bye.
Thank you, Raffi Goldwasser. I hope those of you who listen to this will appreciate the art and integrity that Raffi Goldwasser brings to his work, and we'll go to see it at the Fringe Festival, and we'll see it in its next reincarnation when the Volksbühne presents it later this fall. We will, of course, let you know about those dates. In Toronto in early September.
And in Poland, he's doing Yiddish readings in Warsaw the 5th of September.
Okay. What more could we ask for? So this was a very nice show. I'm very happy that we got to talk to Rafi. I know that his director is probably listening, because he's probably listening with Itzik. I hope he's listening with Itzik, Gottesman. And it was Bela Schechter's Gottesman's birthday last week.
It was.
And her 20th birthday, her 90th birthday.
Her 90th birthday. I wasn't going to say that, but since you'd said it, what the hell?
They celebrated with a wonderful Zingerei in the Gurten.
And I bis dahin didn't Svansik. she is a treasure that we should all cherish. And I hope that Antova has a wonderful album of her songs.
When I was with her last week and I said to her, Bela, bis dahin didn't Svansik, she looked at me with big wide eyes and she said, Timenishka Toivis.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
I can understand.
But she's doing just wonderfully and still writing every day and taking pen to paper and making sketches and being creative, and that's what keeps her going, and she is a treasure.
Well, you know what? Let's hope that somehow we can inspire some young person, somebody who's just listening, maybe 9 or 10 years old or 11 or 12, or someone who thinks about Yiddish and loves Yiddish, maybe Binyamin Schechter's daughters. What are they called? The Schechter Techter?
Yeah.
You know, we need to look for inspiration somewhere. We need some young people to get involved, to care about Mama Lushin, to care about the legacy that has all been but extirpated. And we're trying to keep it alive. We don't know whether we will succeed or not. In the greater scheme of things, I suppose it really doesn't matter. Whether we keep Yiddish alive as a spoken language, as a literary language. But for the time being, it's something to keep occupied with, no?
Mm-hmm.
One can't think about the great, you know, you just can't stand on the edge of the abyss. you gotta bring it back to something you can touch and feel and maybe, you know, get down behind.
Well, you know, es ist so prächtig in Sprache.
Es ist so prächtig.
When you read things only in English translation, du verlierst den ganzen Charme von der Original. And it's just very, very clear to me that, you know, maybe people, when they've read some translated Shalom Aleichem or read some translations or hear, that they go back to the source and say, really, really, let me get a feel for the original, because it is so much richer. And so, yes, let's encourage all ranzusetzen sich und sein ein bisschen mehr interessiert in unser Mamelaschen.
Oh, mein Seller. You know what? I think I'd like to do some music. What do you think? Well, we're going to take this out with some music. We have about 4 minutes and 22 seconds, and that's what I'm going to take it out with. Thanks so much, Tova, for being here.
Hashem, I'm done.
Thank you, Laser. Thank you, Rafi Goldwasser. And folks out there, I know some people were listening tonight, because I called some personal friends of mine and I asked them, please listen to this radio show. There's a certain charm to having a radio show that nobody listens to.
If there's a tree in the forest.
No, I want you to know that.
It's worth a short story.
I'm trying to avoid changing that, but I simply can't. So thanks for being here. And here we go with more of Soy Karolenko and the Russian Klezmer All-Star. I'm
Von Wurz, von Suchen dem Alef in Alef Beis, von Ächste Verlang und Verdruss, von Äpfscher der Omheg von Heimland ist, das Lied von dem Feugel in Sohn, der Omheg is efter du spegeler im hastigen Teich und der Blut. Und wo ist der Unheb von Vaterland am gilzernem Teuerlem Holz bei einer Berioske wo spielen dich alleine im Fell dieser Reus und äpfscher die Mame.
Tova, are you there?
I am.
Is this a tango? What do you think?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Why? Yeah. Don't you think so?
I love it, yeah. Yeah, for sure. This guy is just out of his mind. And in a wonderful way. And I hope we will have him as a guest on the show at some point in the future. I know our Russian audience will be very interested. Where does the fatherland begin? Oh, yeah.
Was liegt in dem altigen Schrank? Und Äpfscher, der Unheb von Heimland ist.
Listen to this band. This is...
Die Äpfsten leben gesegnet, die Spur auf Leben und Treu.
We only have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to thank all of you who bothered to listen in today. Hopefully that number will be growing. I don't know how much I welcome that, because the more people who listen, the more careful I have to be about what I say. Isn't that true?
No, you don't. That's your charm.
Well, that's a wonderful thing about a program that nobody listens to. You can say whatever that... so-and-so you want to say. You know what I'm saying? Laser, are you still there?
I'm here.
Yiddish Vach starts tomorrow, folks.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, the bus is leaving at 10:30 from Penn Station.
The bus is leaving. Don't get left behind.
Get on that bus.
Yes. And class camp is starting, right?
Also tomorrow.
Also tomorrow. Where is it going to be, class camp?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, but isn't it in
It's up at the B'nai B'rith camp about an hour and a half north of Montreal.
The B'nai B'rith camp an hour and a half north of Montreal?
Get on that bus.
Who would have thought of such a thing? Who would have thunk it?
It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. And it's quite a huge festival. It's wonderful. Well, you know, it's more than a festival. It's really a camp, right, where people go to learn and really immerse themselves in Yiddish song and Yiddish music and the virtuoso players that come every year, and stars are found every year, and they bring them now from around the world. It's a very exciting place. And then, of course, Ashkenaz starts the 30th or the 31st of August as well. In Toronto, so it's a very full Yiddish world out there, my folks, my friends.
Thank you so much. Don Newsom must be loving this because he hasn't cut us off yet. It's already 7. It's already 7 o'clock, and I don't know that he hasn't said to me, "Stop." You know, of course, we could talk among ourselves forever, but I think this is Taka, the end of the show. I want to thank you all for being here. You know, the magic of the internet is that none of us are in the same place at the same time. And
yet it sounds like we're in the same room.
And it sounds like we're in the same room. So, you know, take it from there, guys. You can fly with this, man. It ain't all that expensive. It might be so cheap as to be revolutionary. Just a thought. So, good night. Thank you.
Gute Nacht, alle.
Gute Nacht, Tova and Laser, David. Wish you and bid you a good night.
Game it, Mazel.